Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk. So today we are diving into a topic that so many of us can relate and yet often find it very difficult to discuss. That is the family dynamics. And we all know that, well, most of us know that family can be the source of our deepest connections, but also our most challenging and then complex experiences. Today we have here again, Steph. Steph, you're welcome to Let's Talk.
Thank you.
So Steph will be giving us an honest look into the challenges she faced, the emotions she's dealt with, and what she has learned along the way.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah. So to start off, could you tell us a bit about your family background and the kind of family dynamics you grew up with and how it shaped your view on relationship with your family?
Well, I'm the only daughter of my father.
Mm-hmm.
And on mother's side, we are three. Oh, yes. And PAC
at the same time.
Yeah, so I'm daddy's girl.
Right.
Well, I was daddy's girl.
Mm.
And I don't know if I'm still daddy's girl.
You said you was.
Yes, I was.
You were.
I was daddy's girl.
What changed? What happened?
A lot.
Yeah. So take us through a lot.
Okay, so I spent most of my days with daddy.
Okay.
Yeah, I grew up with daddy. And in the course of time, daddy traveled. So I was left with my grandmother. That is my daddy's mother and stepfather and siblings, step-siblings. So the time daddy left for abroad, I was very young. And he used to come every year, here and there. And I was left with my grandmother. And at that time, I did not know who my mother was. Yeah, I saw pictures of her, but
exactly.
We weren't having that mother-daughter connection, and she did not visit.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think she had a personal issue with my grandmother. Like, they had this issue going on, but nobody would say what was wrong, but they knew that this don't like the other, this don't like the other.
Okay.
So, the issue that they had, no. Because I was with my mom. Yeah, it was transferred. Yeah. Like, she had some sort of anger. Yeah. And there was a time that daddy said he came back to Ghana here.
He came back to Ghana.
Yeah, to visit.
Okay.
And he once said that, oh, he wants to send me to his place where he is, North Dakota.
Okay.
So he informed my grandmother.
Okay.
And she was like, no. Why don't he send his step-siblings? That's, yeah.
Instead?
Yes, instead of his daughter.
But you are also her granddaughter, right?
Yeah. She's the one who, she knew what she was doing. You get it?
Okay.
Yeah, she knew what she was doing at that time.
And do you think it was because of her conflict with your mother?
Yeah, it's obvious.
Yeah.
So I think she had this perception that, oh, when she gets rich or when she becomes wealthy, she's going to send it to her mother's family. That's kind of perception that the older people have how should I say it? Oh, that's what she had in mind. But it was true though. It was true. There was no way that I was going to become rich and leave my it would never happen.
And that's the norm. I think that is the norm.
Yeah.
Once you get rich, obviously you are going to
my
take
mother,
it to
I'm going to spoil her.
Yeah.
So he said no, but my daddy being the man he is, he was like, nah, how can I leave my daughter here and send my step-siblings?
Yeah.
So that's when everything started. So the plan was to go to daddy's place after junior high school.
Right.
Yeah. So after junior high school, I wrote NOVDEC in SHS-1. So the plan was to write NOVDEC in SHS-1, pass, then go. So they they hired personal tutors for me who used to come and teach, pay them for the NOVDEC.
Right.
After the NOVDEC, you see, everything was going smoothly. I used to hear from Daddy. They used to send me money. And at that time, I wasn't with my grandmommy anymore. I had gone to an extended family.
Okay, your dad's or your mom's?
My dad's.
Okay.
Yeah, he was at Efijasi here. So that was where I was. Yeah, so that was where I was getting the tutoring and stuff. So I wrote the NOVDEC.
Okay.
The results came out. I was there one day. I hadn't left Efijasi. I was still there because of one or two reasons. So there was this time in the morning, it was a Saturday morning. I was there and my step granddad called. And he was like, "Oh, you should come back to Kumasi tomorrow because we're going to Accra." I was like, "For what?"
Accra, the Makwaya.
Because I don't know any family there yet. Yeah. And I don't know any friend or any relative that we are going to visit. So I was like, okay. So the next day, early in the morning, I left. And let me say this. You see, initially, I said I'm daddy's girl. And literally, even though my grandmommy wasn't happy with me, like, we're having, she used to say things, bad stuff about my mommy here and there. They still treated me well. There wasn't a day that you would go hungry. Yeah, they would give you everything you want, but they would damage you emotionally. Yes, that was what was
I think
going.
That's even worse than
feeding
someone and damaging
the
person emotionally is bad.
Very
you
bad.
Stop feeding the person.
Yes, and you see, sometimes she even accuses me. We are having this cosmetic operation. We say, "Oh, you've stolen my money." Me, which money? Then she will beat me here and there. But
your grandmother.
Yes. You see. So the next day, early in the morning, I left for Kumasi.
Okay.
When I went in the evening, I said I was hungry. I used to eat fried rice, jollof rice, those chiches. Yeah. Indomie, spaghetti, kelewele. I went to them for food. They gave me money to go and buy a banku. They knowing that I don't eat banku, and they give me
and
money.
And it's not because banku is a bad food. You just don't like banku.
I don't like banku.
Right.
I find it difficult to swallow.
Okay, but do you eat fufu?
Yes, I do. You see, the reason why I don't like banku, let me tell you.
Okay.
The reason why I don't like banku is, you see, people normally eat banku with okra soup.
Okay.
Yes, and you see, the okra, the pot that they prepared the okra in it, it stains.
Okay.
And I find it nasty to wash.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so that was why I started hating banku. Yes, because of the okra and because I'm going to wash dishes.
Okay, so you never wanted
yes,
to
so
eat banku.
If I don't eat, I'm not going to wash any dishes.
Okay.
So that was when I started not eating banku. And they knew, so in the house, they knew that, oh, if we prepare banku, she's not going to eat. Yes, so they gave me money. Go and buy banku. I was like, hey, why? What's happening? And it wasn't once, it wasn't twice. During my dad 5-3 day stay there, they kept giving me money to go and buy a banku. Sometimes they would even go to the extent of going to buy the food themselves because at that time, banku was very cheap. It wasn't that expensive like me taking 20 days or 30 days to go and buy Indomie and stuff. Yes, I was like, okay. So the next day at dawn, we left for Achimota.
Okay.
And all this while, I didn't hear from Daddy. Yeah, I did not hear from him. I used to call him, but he wouldn't pick up. And you see, at that time, my stepmommy was there, but they hadn't yet gotten married. Yeah. And wherever that woman is, God will bless her. She's very kind. And I'm always grateful to her. She's not like other stepmothers. Yeah. So she was the only person I kept in touch with. She used to call me, "Oferiwa, how are you? How is school?"
You're Oferiwa?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were a Stephanie.
Furiwa.
Okay.
That's my name. Well, so Furiwa, how are you? How is school and stuff? Say, well, mommy, everything is fine. So we left for Achimota that dawn. We arrived in Accra in the morning. Went to this clinic. We took boats. When we alighted in Achimota, we took boats to that clinic. So when we got there, there was this lady in a lab coat waiting for us at the entrance. But then she asked, like, oh, is this the child? He said yes. And she asked, mommy, how are you? How is school? Which level are you? I told her everything. So she told us to wait at the reception. So we sat there for about 5 minutes or so. Then later we were called that we can come upstairs. All this while I did not know what we were doing there. But I was like, okay, maybe it's my medicals, because we had finished with the Novdek and I was mentally prepared. I had psyched myself that me, I'm leaving for the US. Yes. So I wasn't even taking studies seriously, yes, because I knew that
we're leaving
a little while we are going home. Yes. Bagaba. So fast forward, we went upstairs. Then we entered this room. There was this man there. And at that time, I knew nothing about nursing and specimen and those stuffs here. So he told me to sit down. Then he took something like a high vagina swab.
Okay.
Yeah. Then he used this to swipe the saliva in my mouth. Then he placed it in a specimen bottle.
Okay.
Then he said, oh, we are done. And I said,
medicals, is that all?
So me, I did not know that they were going to do a DNA test too. I did not know. So
you had it in mind that you were going for...
Yes, my medicals.
Since your father said he was going...
Yes, he gets it.
Yes.
So we left. When we came back to Kumasi, the next day I went back to Fichas. So 2 weeks later... No, it wasn't even up to 2 weeks. So it was, I think, a week later, my grandparents pulled up in their house with their car. I was asleep. No, it was a Sunday morning. I was asleep at that time. So they came. My mommy also came. And that was what people were saying. My mommy also came. So in my sleep, I heard people arguing, like say the truth and stuff. So there was this lady who was staying in the house with us. And she woke me up and she was like, something is going on. Like, go to the backyard and go and eavesdrop. Yeah. Because where the conversation is heading, I think it's about you and it's very serious. So me, I woke up, went to the backyard and eavesdrop on their conversation. And all I heard was that the DNA test came back negative. At once, my knees went numb. I sat on the floor in the sand. And I was like, which test are they talking about? And I could hear like a lady talking. I don't know that my mommy was there at that time. So I went back to the room. My palm started sweating. I knew that it was about me. But I Brad Jeff.
Do you need a break?
No. Let me continue, because I've cried. Like, I used to cry a lot. I used to cry whenever I talk about this issue, but I think now I've gotten used to it. And
so you're okay talking about it?
Yeah, I'm okay talking about it, but I'm not okay with the issue, you get it?
Yeah.
And sometimes it saddens my heart that my daddy was everything that I could ever want in a father, but now I'm not getting it. And sometimes I do really miss him, because he never wanted me to like anything. He will provide anything, like he will do anything in his power to give what you want. Yeah. So he was a good father, and he is still a good father to me. But
regardless of what has happened.
Yeah.
That is so, so nice of you.
Yeah. So all this while. Well,
you are the first person to speak of your father like this, even though you've had issues.
Yeah.
Most people condemn their dads and then be like, he's not a good person, even though. But regardless of what has happened, you are still saying he's a good. That is so nice of you. And
yeah, I will always say nice stuff about my daddy because he's a very good man.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So all this while I did not hear from my father. So realization dawned on me that then maybe the Ashimata that we went to, it was for the
DNA
test. So I went back to the room, sat down, cleaned my palm and everything, tried to calm myself down. So I heard that my mother was saying, like, if she was having the money, the DNA test that they went to do, she would have done it again.
Yeah.
And she also heard that when you are going to do a DNA test, there has to be two people present or a witness.
They have to take a sample of
your dad and here being the case, this is what happened.
They said your mom, obviously.
They're saying that they are going to send the sample to the US. How? How are you? And at that time, daddy wasn't in Ghana here. He wasn't in Ghana. He was still there. So how are...
So who wanted to go for a DNA test? Was it your grandmother?
It was my daddy because initially when he was leaving, he never said that he was having a daughter. So I think they wanted him to prove that indeed I'm his daughter and he wants to come for me. And it got to a point that some people even called my grandmother to confirm that he's been sending me money. You get it? So I think he had to prove to them something like that. And you see, I think it's a lie. I think that's not the case. Because my grandma, when I was little, I remember she used to say that I'm not my father's child. And that,
So do you think it's the relationship with your mother, your grandmother and your mother has been rough since the beginning?
Since the beginning. She never lied to her. And I don't know why.
And have you bothered to ask your mother why?
She would say, your grandma, leave her. She's a witch. She won't say anything that will go into detail. She won't explain anything. She will just say that and leave. If you try to probe further, she will ignore you. So I've stopped. Yeah. So my mother came out of the room. I saw her. She asked how I was doing. I told her I was fine. I took her number. So when they left, my grandma, when they were leaving, she didn't even look at my face. Just sat in the car and they drove off. So I took my mother's number. I called her when she left. I asked her what's going on. And she started explaining things that they are saying that I'm not my daddy's child. And I asked, am I?
You asked your mother?
Yes. Am I? Then she said, yes, you are. And I told her that if later it comes out that it's true that I'm not his, she is never going to hear from me again. So she should say the truth. And until now, she keeps saying the same thing, that when she was young, my daddy was the only man she ever knew and stuff.
And do you still doubt what your mother tells you? You believe her?
Have you seen my father?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I will show you my father's picture.
There is no, I don't think we even need a DNA to prove that. Yeah, it's just rather unfortunate.
And I think that even if that's the case, there are some people here in Ghana and in other countries who adopt kids and nurture them as their own. How much more for someone that's I've been with you for 16, 17 years of my life.
You know, that is different. But that is different.
How is that different?
Adoption, you know that two people who cannot give birth decide to adopt.
Yeah.
And going to adopt a child is different from living with your wife and finding out later that the child that she claims to have with you is not your daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is going to break him down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be... I think
the same way.
Yes,
because
I think it all boils down to the relationship with your mother and then your grandmother. That's that. That is that when that relationships that relationship gets into jeopardy, when it damages that the relationship, that connection starts damaging. That is that.
Mm.
That is that. I think someone said to me that your is it in-law can easily break up your marriage.
Yeah, it's very true.
Your in-law can easily.
Yeah. Especially when the mother-in-law doesn't agree with the marriage. Yeah. Yes. So, yes. Can I continue?
Oh, you amen.
Yeah. So, mother kept saying, my daddy is my biological father and I'm not having any daddy anywhere apart from him. So, I should trust her. All this while I hadn't heard from my dad. And it was just my stepmom. You will call him. It will go through. He will not pick up. So that was what was going on. And you see, those that I was staying with, the extended family, they knew that, they thought that, oh, one day she is going to travel and we have to like keep that positive relationship with her. And when things began to fall apart, they started showing me their true colors.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is so soul of Ghanaians.
There was a day that after this, they told me, oh, don't worry.
Everything is going to be okay.
Yeah, we're going to take care. And you see, that day, that very day that they met with my mommy and discussed the issue, and my mommy kept saying that my daddy is my biological daddy. That very day, the following week, my grandparents, they brought my clothes, drew it outside the house that I should forget about them, that I'm not having any grandparents anywhere, and I shouldn't dare step.
Told you that.
Yeah. I shouldn't dare come back to their place. I should go to my mother's place. And that, you see, the person I was staying with was my grandmother's brother. And she told my grandfather that he should sack me from the house and I should go to my mommy's place. I'm a witch. I'm a witch. And I will destroy his things. And if he doesn't sack me, it means that he's having an affair with me.
Oh.
Yes. That was what happened. So, after that incident, they told me, everything is going to be all right. We are going to take care of you. We are going to send you to the training college.
Your grandparents? Or
no, those I was staying with. My grandmother's brother.
Okay.
Yeah. He and his wife.
Yeah, your grandparents.
Yeah, my grandparents. So they said all these things, and Rajev, not even a week came, they started showing me things. They would say that if you don't help them at the kitchen, they're not going to give you food, and they won't tell you to your face. You see, you be in the room, maybe you might be tired, you will sleep, and if they want you to do something for them, they won't come and call you. They expect you to come. Hacho, do you need anything? What do you want to eat? What food are you going to prepare?
Like a slave.
Yes. That was how they wanted things to be. And how I grew up wasn't like that. And they did not see it that way. And I think they weren't patient enough with me. And me and Kasana, I think that...
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know why, but that's how I felt. I felt that I wasn't welcome in the house anymore because they think that, oh, you are not my nephew's daughter. Get it? Yeah. So there was this time. By now, I had gotten to know my mommy. So sometimes she used to call me. I'll ask her, mommy, I can't hear from daddy. Are you sure he's my father and stuff? And my stepmom called one day. All this, while I hadn't called her, she asked me that, why is it that I haven't called to ask what was going on? And like, am I okay? I'm too young to be going through that. Then I told her that I don't know why I haven't called her. Then she told me that everything is going to be all right. And initially, when the results came, my daddy is hell-bent on the fact that it's science, and science can never be wrong. And he's saying that he won't do the test again if my mommy is having, and he knows that my mommy is not having the money. So if my mommy is having the money, she should go and do another test. It won't be his money again. So she said that when the test came initially, she asked my father not to tell my grandmother about it because she knew how she was. So she encouraged me that everything was going to be fine. Then she cried. Later on was not when you call her, you'll go through, but she won't be able to pick up. And I think it wasn't her fault. And at that time, maybe daddy was angry and he didn't want her to talk to me. Yeah, so I think that was the case. So there was this time during my stay at my grandmother's brother's place, that's my grandfather. My mother called that she was sick, and my mother, she doesn't have any work doing. She is just a housewife.
Okay.
Yeah, she barely make enough for herself.
Right.
So she said that she was sick and that I should come and help her out with house chores. So when she told me initially, I told her that nah, the condition that I'm in, and at the SHS, I went. I did not stop. I did not stop. I was still going. So where I was staying was closer to the school. So they decided to keep me there. So I finished. Then they claimed that they were going to send me to school.
Mm.
So I told my mommy that the situation that I'm in right now, if they should sack me right now, you, my mommy, you won't
get able to help.
Yes. So you let me stay. I get someone else to help you. He said, oh, they would understand. I told her not to call anyone. She called them and told them that, oh, I want my daughter to come and help me out here. And they did not show any sign of anger. I was in the room. They called me. Your mother said, she said, go. That was what he said. Go.
Your grandparents?
Yes. And I was like, for me, he did not even give me any room to say anything. So I went to park the little clothes I had, then I went to my mother's place. So I spent 2 weeks, and we were on, I think, 2 months vacation. So I spent 2 weeks at my mommy's place, then returned. When I came back, my things were packed outside.
Waiting for you.
Waiting for me. So I greeted them and went to the room that I was in. Their things were packed in front of the door. So I was like, when I opened the room, the room was empty. There was nothing, like no bed, no curtain, no nothing. So I sat, there was a chair nearby. I sat on the chair.
Mm.
Like, why? Are they moving me to a new room? Or? So my grandfather sent one of his daughters to come and call me. When I went, he said, quote unquote, just say, Mimi Pesso, be call mammy hono. No, mammy, I lie.
Okay, can I?
Oh, no, mammy, I lie. Pesso, we call mammy where they have given you the opportunity, you can go. The room, I've given it to someone to rent. So there is no room for you in this house again. 2 weeks. There is no room for you in this house to rent again. I was like, hey. So, and as am I here? Not me, name her. I was from here, but I didn't know that this was my hometown. Yeah. So, I called my mommy. I told her that, mommy, this is what has happened. And she said, wait, she called him about 10, 15 times.
No
he
answer.
Did not pick up. So, she told me that, come to Asama. And I said, Asama, what am I coming to do here? She said, there's a family house around, so you come there. There's a room that used to belong to me, and my mom is not here. There's a room that used to belong to me. I've left the keys with this person. Go for it and bring your items here. So, yes, I did. That was how I came to know that, oh, I'm from this place. So, it was left with 3 weeks for us to reopen school. And I had nowhere else to stay. And I couldn't stay in Asamai in school at, you see, that place. It was far. So I told my mommy that, oh, I have these friends that they rented the hostel. So I've told them that I want to join, but they said we should pay 250 Ghana cedis.
A month.
A year. Okay. You see, yeah. For the whole year. And she said she wasn't having. school, I told her, I got angry because if it was my daddy, and if I was still with my daddy, things wouldn't have turned that way. So I started blaming her.
Yeah.
Because when she got pregnant at that time, she couldn't continue schooling. She dropped out. I was like, why didn't you finish schooling? Why did you allow someone to impregnate you?
You started blaming your mother.
Yes. I started blaming her. And I think it wasn't her fault.
Yeah.
And it wasn't my fault either because I was going through things. Yeah. So I called people to help. My friends. And they did. And my mommy too also supported with the little she had. So I was able to pay the money and join my friends at the hostel. So when I go to the hostel, it was left with what I was going to eat. Hey, I'm about to cry, but wait, I won't cry.
It is funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah,
it's funny and sad at the same time.
It was left with what I was going to eat, and our tuition fee. You see, the teachers, they were meeting us on weekends and selling books. So you see me wherever I go, I'm always everybody's favorite, if not everybody.
Most people.
Yes. And our science tutor, he was a very good man. He tutored me for free. Yeah. And he gave me textbooks to go and read. Our math tutor the same. Our social tutor the same. So I literally, with the books and tutoring aspect, I got it for free. But the food, you see, I had to go on hunger strike sometimes because it wasn't always that mommy was able to
provide.
Yes. So I had to endure it. And sometimes I would sit down and cry my eyes out. I was like, hey, God, why? What sin have I committed? Or in my previous life, was I, like, did I commit a crime or something? So I used to cry. And my friends that knew that my daddy was rich, they would say, hey, Steph, nowadays you don't buy food, cry, or why? What's going on? And I didn't want to tell anybody because I felt that it was shameful.
Right.
Yeah, to say that, oh, DNA test has proved that
my daddy is... I'm not my father's, yes. My father's daughter.
So I would tell them, oh, I'm doing intermittent fasting. I was always doing... I did intermittent fasting until we completed SHS. And until now, I think nobody knows. Nobody knew what was going on at that time.
Right.
So... SHS wasn't easy, and I think what kept me going was...
I was about to ask you.
Kept me going was God.
God.
Yeah. He was the only person, he was the only person that kept me going at that time because I used to pray and cry to him.
You said you used to?
Yes. I'll come there.
Okay.
I used to pray, cry to him. Now I don't cry again. Yeah.
So you don't need him anymore?
No, I do need him. I still do need him.
I understand that. I'm just...
When we were in SHS 3, when we were about to finish school, I said, me, I'm going to become a nurse.
Okay.
Yes. So the nursing training, I had wanted to come all this while. Initially, daddy wanted me to become a lawyer. And that was what I wanted to do. But when things started falling apart, I was like, nah, let me channel it to nursing. Because I felt that me, I'm kind.
Okay.
And I'll be able to put up with things and help others recover. Well, that was when I started saying that, oh, I want to become a nurse. And now I'm here. I'm still on the path.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was this time I was in my hostel room. And my father called with a Ghana number.
Mm.
He said he's in
Ghana. He's in Ghana.
He wants to see me. I was overjoyed. That week, when I used to go to school, I'd be looking at our school entrance to see whether my father's car will pull up in the school. But no. And he never saw me. He never called back to ask. So after SHS, all this while I was enjoying the hardships and stuff. After SHS, I told my mom, mommy, I want to go to nursing. She said, she. What money do I have for you to sponsor your nursing? I was like, me, the nursing, by hook or crook.
I will go.
Even if you are going to sell a land, sell your material, sell anything that you treasure, for me to go to school, you are going to. So after SHS, I went to my daddy's biological father's place. There to fire on the mountain. It was the same with my grandfather's place. So I came back to after my hair. So when I came back, my father called and he asked, where are you? I told him that I'm in Asamai. And he asked, where is your mother? And I told him that she is somewhere else. And he asked, what do you want to do? And I told him that I want to become a nurse. And he said, okay. And with that, okay, you know, my stepmommy, she was the one who sent me the money to go and buy the admission
forms.
Yeah.
Right.
So I bought the forms. I came for interview. I was selected. I was left with the fees. You call my father. You say today. You say tomorrow. Like, he was postponing. So I called my stepmommy and told her. And my father's friend, he too also called my father that he is pleading with him to help me with the school and stuff. And Onjai Bibia Manenka. Yeah, so he did. And he's the one sponsoring my fees now. But with what I'm going to eat. My mommy. So everything is fine. It's not fine, but I think it's better than before. And I think that everything is going to be fine.
You know, I also have a story, but I think after hearing yours,
it's nothing compared.
No, it is nothing compared to what I went through.
Yeah.
It's so, nothing compared
and
to
me
what
being
I went
a
through.
Girl, you see. Yes, see, there is this thing that a wubroncos
inside.
My grandparents kept saying, she's going to get pregnant. Leave her. She's going to be a school dropout. She will ask guys for money and they are going to she will get pregnant. And her daughter that she was saying that she is holier than thou
is pregnant.
She has two different baby daddies.
Oh, okay.
You get it. So, I think that me, I'm God's favorite.
Right.
Yeah, there is nothing that you can say to change my mind that, I'm God's favorite and I'm still his. Forever and ever, I'm going to be his favorite because a lot has happened and God has kept me true. Yeah, so.
I don't even know what to say anymore because.
Yes. You know, if I don't tell you, you wouldn't know that, this is what I'm going through.
No, people are going through stuff.
Yeah.
I've been traumatized, but after listening to your story, it is nothing compared to what I went through. So thank you so much.
Parents, I'll urge you, don't leave your wife don't leave your wife to become a single mother.
And you said, have you seen my father? And even though I haven't seen your father, I believe that we don't even need a DNA test to prove that.
And I think there is something wrong somewhere and my daddy has refused to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But me, when I get money, by hook or crook, he's going to do it.
But you need his blood.
Yes, I'm going to. He will do it, don't worry. There are many ways to kill a cat. So, Brad Jeff,
what have you learned about family?
I've learned to be independent in some way or the other. If in
mentally.
Hard times, in mentally and physically,
and
emotionally, because now nothing hurts me anymore.
Right.
Yes, there is nothing that you can say.
To because damage. I've been through a lot.
Yes. And also, I've learned how to manage money. Yes, because there was a time that I went the whole day without food and I survived. So I'm able to save up without being spendthrift. So that is very much of what I've learned. And be careful with family. Careful with those you call family. Like, well, this person, he or she is my family, so he or she can't do me harm. They are the same people that when you go through trials and temptation, they will turn their back on you. I know what I'm saying.
Yeah, because you've been there.
Yeah. And it's not that when I was going through, this family weren't there. They were there. They saw everything. They knew everything. But they kept quiet. They did not help. They did not say. There was a time, but I will never forget this day. It was a family. I called her that, please send me 20 days. I've not eaten this evening. She said, okay. I don't know if this time now. And now that she saw that I'm in the nursing, she wants to get close to me. But my Jenna say, there is nothing that she can say to make me, like, forgive her. Because at that time, I was very hungry. And I really needed that money. And when she said, okay, I called several times.
No answer. Ten Ghana cedis.
I did not get it. So you see, that's family for you. Some family. I think not all families are like that.
Oh, not all, but people are going through stuff.
Yeah.
People are going through a whole lot of... I also have a story. Mm-hmm. I do have a story, but it is not as bad as and not as damaging as yours after listening to your story. And yes. I think that is another conversation for another day. So thank you so much for sharing your story and for being so vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is difficult to have these kind of conversations. I think the last time I had mine was with my kid sister and my senior brother. And so frustrated. You know, it's an emotional conversation. It's an emotional, you know, and family can be complicated. You know, it has to, mine also has to do with family matters and all that. But it was long, long, long ago. But hearing your journey really reminds us that we are not alone in facing these challenges.
Yeah.
And I also know our listeners will take a lot from your honesty and then your resilience.
Yeah.
So if you've listened to this conversation and if you're also having a story, you can go ahead to our TikTok page, Let's Talk with Jeff, and then share your story. We might even cover your story in our next episode. Thank you so much for listening to Let's Talk. Ciao.